This electronic music mashup comes from a podcast called Annie Max Minimix. Every episode is just a few minutes long, and it's all music. Some of the sounds are familiar, like the Rhythm is a Dancer riff you might catch if you're listening closely, but there's also plenty I wouldn't hear anywhere other than podcast land. I'm Gina Kaufman, and today's Audio Files on KCUR's Central Standard is all about music podcasts. Because how we learn about new music is changing fast, and the music podcast is part of that change. We'll hear more about the music podcasts that come highly recommended by our critics very shortly. For now, some of the local music podcasters in Kansas City are going to take us behind the scenes. Hannah Copeland and Matt Hodat both work here at KCUR. You hear Hannah announcing on the weekends and doing art stories. In fact, a lot of those air on Central Standard. Matt is better known around here as just Hodap, and he produces KCUR's political podcast, State House Blend. But they don't stop producing audio when they're off the clock, and we're going to hear about their new project. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So your up-and-coming podcast, Ghost Notes, is all about local music. What's the elevator pitch, Hodap?
We wanted to create a show that wasn't necessarily focused on reviewing music or music itself, but was more interested in these musicians, who they are, what causes them to write the music that they write, and what are their personal stories, but also about the culture of the Kansas City music scene. We hear all the time, it's up and coming, it's big.
Rah-rah.
Rah-rah. But is that true? And is that true for every genre?
Okay, well, you've got a lot to bite off there. And Hannah, you're a musician in your own right, is that correct?
Yeah, I play in a band called Tidy Hippie.
So how does that affect the way you're approaching this project?
It does and it doesn't. I'd say it affects the back end of the production. And I have a lot of knowledge. I've played in rock bands for probably about 7 years. And so that means I know the right questions to ask, as in, how's your band working together? How's the tour going? Are you making any money? Do you feel like people are coming to your shows? Just the basic things that I know are concerns of musicians, because I've had those same concerns, so I know how to ask about it.
You can put yourself in their shoes in a way that maybe some people can't.
Exactly. Yeah, I know what it's like. And we don't talk about my band, but I just know what those struggles are. Yeah.
As we'll discover when our critics join us, the music podcast world, kind of like the rest of the world of music criticism, especially when it comes to rock music and all the little related subcultures, it's kind of white dude oriented, I would personally say. Do you feel like you're coming at it differently in that respect too?
The music world in general?
The world of music criticism.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That is a fact. We don't focus on criticism. We just let the artists speak for themselves.
But even interviewing. I mean, I would say, like, the world of sort of meta music is very male-dominated.
Right. And Matt actually wanted to not have a white dude hosting it, so he got me instead. Yeah, that's true, but we make a point to book guests of all genders and skin colors and genres. We're not limited to any of that. And I think, yeah, we're well aware that there's a lot of bands out there are fronted by white guys and supported by white guys. But I mean, there's a lot of hidden talent out there, and there's actually not all of it's hidden. You just have to look in the right places.
You have to be paying attention.
Yeah.
Well, what I really want to talk to you guys about is starting a music podcast, partly because in preparing for this show, we found that for a format specifically made for audio, which you would think would really lend itself to music, podcasts aren't nearly as music dominated as you would think. And the music podcast really seems to be its own animal. Matt, why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's hard to find new things to say. There's been a lot said about music. And I think when, like Hannah was saying, when people start looking in, you know, if I'm not a musician, how do I want to interact with this industry and this world? They think criticism. That's the first place you can go to. And you really have to kind of think hard to find something new to say or something interesting to say and not just play the music, which you can hear on the radio.
Well, this podcast that you're putting together is part of an independent podcast network called Fountain City Frequency. And you guys record here at KCUR, but you're essentially on your own without a net, though having KCUR's equipment is huge. Would that normally be one of the challenges to starting a music podcast? Because it's music. You want it to sound good.
Yeah, I think, well, we just recently, we've recorded one episode at KCUR, and we've been doing this for 3 months, 4 months.
So when you say you've been doing this, that's interesting because for a lot of people who aren't familiar with what it takes to put together anything involving audio, the idea that you've just recorded one, but that you've been working for months, what is this? What have you been doing?
Okay, so we started off four months ago. Matt and I got together. Matt wanted to make a music podcast. I said, great, so do I, but I don't want to produce it. I can host it. And he said, great, I don't want to host it. So he's the producer. And we started booking interviews with as many different types of artists as we could think of. We didn't want the show to be dominated, like you said, by white dudes or just women or just men. It just we booked people from all over the place in Kansas City. That means
so you established like a schedule.
Yes. So we established a schedule. We decided we wanted to make a biweekly podcast so we could promote things that are coming up, just not necessarily promote, but make people aware of things that are coming up. So we called musicians. We said, can you interview on this day? And then they came to our previous studios, which is at Charlotte Street downtown. And we call it a studio, but we did haul in our own microphones, as in I have one vocal mic that I record my band with, and Matt has one field recording mic. We recorded our interviews on two separate mics. It was difficult, and then we smashed those two pieces of audio together so it sounded more like a studio. And then Matt cut those interviews up, and then we released them biweekly. I hope that made sense to everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that the myth out there is that anyone can just start a podcast, which is technically true, but you guys are not just anyone. That the fact that you even had two microphones and this less than ideal situation, admittedly, you know, trying to fabricate the sound of a studio, not everyone even has the tools to do that. I mean, is there more of a barrier to entry for music podcasting than people imagine?
I think there's sort of a personal barrier more than financial. I mean, you can get two microphones. Yeah, you'd have to work for a while to save up the money, but you can get them pretty cheap nowadays. But there is a barrier of, well, I wouldn't know what to do even if I had them. I could hit record and record a bunch of stuff, but then how do I make that sound good? Or how do I think about creating a narrative flow to this show that sounds good? And that takes time. I mean, I was able to do it because of a lot of what I've learned here at KCUR and my work here. I have a level of confidence in back-end production.
Right.
But I think there's that personal barrier to people that they just... And by the way, everyone should start a podcast.
Everyone should.
It's easy. It is easy, and you will learn a lot about yourself. And it may not be successful, but you will have fun.
You're inviting an awful lot of competition.
That's fine. I'm ready.
I think podcasting is, like many arts, easy to learn, hard to master. People say that about the saxophone when you join band, but another example is anyone can paint a picture. I mean, you buy a canvas, you throw some paint on it, you painted a picture. But if you want to make that, if you want to become a master painter, then it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of learning. And I think that's Matt and I have developed those skills here on our own time and at KCUR, but we applied what we learned in trying to master it.
Matt, when you said that you learn a lot about yourself, what do you mean? You're interviewing musicians about what they do, and Hannah's interviewing them. You're doing the production. What are you learning about yourself through this?
Well, you learn what you find interesting, especially when you're doing the editing process, and because you're always comparing it to what you think other people are going to find interesting as well, and you learn a lot about your own tastes and your own tastes in comparison to the rest of the world. But I do another podcast where I do more talking on it. And just being in a room alone and trying to think of what you have to say to everybody is a level of self-reflection that I think is beneficial.
Cool. Well, Hannah, you guest hosted the Fish Fry this weekend. And as the weekend announcer, you listen closely to KCUR's terrestrial music programming. What can the podcast do that's different? I mean, what opportunities and challenges specific to the format excite you the most?
As a podcast, we can release episodes whenever we want. This episode we chose to do bi-weekly because in addition to long-form interviews, we want to tell people, say, hey, we interviewed Mikal Shapiro. She's playing Shapiro. I'm so sorry, Mikal Shapiro. She's playing a show next week. You should go to it. So we choose to do bi-weekly. So we have control over the format. We also have control over the length. If a regular radio, you are always bound by things like the legal ID, and you're bound by breaks at every quarter hour, every bottom of the hour. You have things you have to say, like KCUR, KCUR HD1, Kansas City Public Media. We don't have to say that on the podcast.
Well, it seems like, you know, if someone had an amount to say that really fit 15 minutes, you could do 15 minutes.
Exactly.
And if they had more to say, you could make it longer.
Right. I think our shortest Ghost Note interview has been about 15 minutes, and then our longest episode has been about 40 minutes. And that's great because sometimes I'll interview people for an hour and poor Matt has to chop that up into 20 minutes. But the value in that is we can just give the listener what we believe is the best content. And if we have 40 minutes of wonderful content, we'll give that to you. But if we only have 5 minutes of good content, we'll give that to you too. We don't have to waste any minutes of your time. We're only going to give you what you want to hear.
Well, as we've discussed, the barrier, technically anyway, the barrier to entry in podcasting is pretty low. But the podcast landscape in general is getting pretty saturated. So, I mean, yeah, it reminds me a little of what they once so eagerly called the blogosphere, just the online world in general. How do you approach that? How do you make yourself stand out once you've put your stuff on the internet?
Well, one of the things I thought about in starting some of the podcasts that I have done is how do you get people to notice it? And my strategy that has been to focus locally, which is something that a lot of podcasters aren't doing. You have a better chance. You can advertise at coffee shops. You can sell the brand of your city to people. You can sell that localization that you could be hearing someone that walks down the street from you. And so that's one way of setting yourself
apart. So you've made the World Wide Web a tiny neighborhood.
Exactly.
Well, best of luck to both of you. The name of your new podcast again, so our listeners don't forget it.
Ghost Notes via the Fountain City Frequency Network.
KCUR's Hannah Copeland and Matt Hodapp telling us about their new side project, a music podcast called Ghost Notes. When KCUR's audio files returns, our critics tell us about the music podcasts they're enjoying the most. I'm Gina Kaufman, KCUR's Central Standard. We'll be right back. It's time for the audio files, one of my favorite segments because I'm always needing to discover something new, and I always do, something I really need to be listening to. I'm Gina Kaufman. You're listening to KCUR's Central Standard, and this audio files episode is all about music podcasts. Today's critics are Jason Harper and Mike Russo. Jason used to be the music editor at The Pitch. Since then, he's had a handful of jobs combining music and technology. Now he works at Barclay Advertising. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Gina.
Mike Russo is KCUR's new events producer. Yay. And he's also one of the curators of the Middle of the Map Fest, a growing music festival that takes place every spring. So it's coming right up. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Gina.
Why do you guys listen to music podcasts and how do you go about finding your must listen shows? Jason?
I listen to them for kind of the commentary because as Mike and I were talking about, you know, there's not a lot of music podcasts that actually play music. The ones that do often come out of terrestrial radio, like KEXP, Music That Matters, KCRW, Morning Becomes Eclectic. The BBC has some. So the music podcasts that you get that are from independent producers are a lot of talk. And that's, you know, allows
you like that.
I do. Well, I mean, there's so many options for music discovery, like Spotify. I mean, I am a shamefully inveterate, hungry Spotify consumer, and I use that all the time for music discovery.
Why are you ashamed?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that the artists come out so well in that model. I mean, you know, David Byrne has spoken out against it. Prince, RIP, you can't get his music anywhere streaming. The streaming MP3 revolution has really hurt the music industry and has hurt the artists. But, man, you got to have – I mean, I'm a music junkie, so it's the way that I
you
find out.
Resist.
So that's – yeah, that gets me through the day, you know, that that, you know, needle tap on the arm of constant music. It's, you got to have it. But podcasts let you go a little bit deeper and learn about the artist's creative process. You know, because before it was like the music had to stand for itself unless you read interviews in the press or on, you know, rare TV or radio appearances. You didn't really get inside the artist's mind so much. So the music podcasts that I listen to feature those opportunities to like dive deep
to learn
the
about
yeah,
the music.
To learn about the music and how it was created.
Mike, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think a key component for me is that it needs to be curatorial and it needs to share something that I don't know about in discovery. Kind of like going to a record store with somebody who knows way more about records and them showing you this record or where this came from or things like that. Honestly, when I listen to a music podcast, I want to feel like they're cooler than I am. And that's kind of the experience that I get. And I love hearing about the culture that ties into it, or just even getting news from a music perspective is kind of a really interesting lens.
You're reminding me of just being a kid and having an older sibling who's like catching on to new things before the other people in your class.
Yeah, that's an experience I'm totally fine with having.
Well, you've both recommended Turned Out a Punk. Mike, what's the story behind that one?
And I'm glad you started with that one, Gina, because I think that that really is the experience. So it's Damian Abraham, and he has been in bands and different things like that. And he gets lots of different people on air with him or on his podcast. And he starts off with this, you know, this is the first question I ask you. How did punk influence you in your life? And what was your first punk experience?
And these are not all musicians, right?
No, so he's really into WWF. He had Fred Armisen.
So wrestling.
Yeah, oh, yes, sorry. Yeah, WWE. Sorry.
Are a lot of wrestlers into punk music?
Apparently so.
I guess it makes sense.
Like, that's what he kind of inspired him was he started listening to wrestling podcasts, which if you've ever listened to are amazingly comprehensive. And there's this whole community of wrestling podcasters out there. There was even a joke on Aziz Ansari's show about wrestling podcasts. So it's this subculture. And that's what inspired him to like go to the microphone and use his industry connections to start exploring people's relationship to punk. And I didn't really have that in the, you know, when I was a teenager, I was listening to dorky 70s music. And so like, I missed the whole punk thing. So I'm going back and like reliving that experience of being a kid brother, listening to the cool older brother talk about like the, you know, the real stuff.
The real stuff as opposed to dorky 70s music.
Right, yeah, inflated arena rock.
Well, let's hear a clip from this podcast. Mike, you brought in this clip from an interview with Sebastian Granger. Who's he?
He's from the band Death From Above 1979.
What do we need to know about that band?
They were kind of a revolutionary for their time in hybriding dance music and punk music. And they also have Canadian origins, which Damian pulls from a lot.
Okay, let's hear Sebastian Granger being interviewed by Damian Abraham on Turned Out a Punk.
But this is all about you.
It is.
And your journey. Your journey into the world of punk rock and your world of music. So I want to start this off the way I start them all off, mm-hmm. which is, Sebastian, how'd you get into punk? Do you remember the first time you came across it?
This is going to sound maybe fictional, mm-hmm. but I was in, and it also, it might have been a government plant, but I was in London. This is super stupid. I was in London as a child.
England or Ontario?
London, England.
Okay.
My father's English.
Yep.
And we were there visiting family for a wedding or something. And I remember being in some kind of market, some outdoor market, and seeing some, like, punkers, like cartoon punkers. Mm-hmm. With Liberty Spikes and all kinds of, you know, the just draw a punk.
Yeah, postcard punks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw them, and in my memory, they were, like, crouched behind something. I looked over, and they winked at me. This is probably not true, but this is a memory I have. That would have been the first instance. And then there's, not long after that, there's a photo of me dressed up at Halloween as like a punker like that, and I just, you know,
yeah,
the whole thing. I was just like, oh, that's, you can do that with your life.
You can do that with your life. And so that's from the podcast Turned Out a Punk. Mike, what does that clip capture? Why did you want us to hear that one?
I think that for me, punk rock is kind of this thing that it's nerdy in retrospect. Like when you look back in your life and you say, I was into this thing and it felt so cool. When you look back at it, it's this nerd subculture that's really profound to kind of explore. And it seems so relatable to me. It's like, I saw somebody with Liberty spikes, so I became a punk. And that, to me, it's this journey that I enjoy going on with him.
Jason, what do you like about Turned Out a Punk?
I like that he takes that subculture that might seem inaccessible to people who are not cool enough or too old or feel like that, and turns it into a personal journey of self-discovery, because many people are drawn to punk. Like he interviewed,
and that's universally, like, because you are saying something that strikes a chord, that part of punk is also that it's underground and you kind of have to know people to find out what's going on, that sort of thing. But it does sound like he takes that and finds the thing in it that's universal, which is, yeah, the self-discovery.
Like he interviewed Scott Campbell from Kids in the Hall, who's a gay comedian, and he came into punk as a way to, you know, vent his personal frustration at being marginalized, at not being understood. And he saw an outlet. He wasn't musical at all, but he saw an outlet in punk music to express himself that way and to learn more about himself and, you know, kind of navigate the social climate of Canada in the 80s.
Yeah.
So Mike, this guy makes another podcast with his son, right?
Yes. Robots. Sorry, something robots.
Robot of all robots.
That's what it is. Yes. Yeah. And he also does Footnotes, which is this where he'll, which is so nerdy. He'll basically talk about the songs that he talked about on the podcast so that you can reference them and write them down. And Robots of All Robots, I've only listened to once because it was wrapped into a podcast. But it's I think it's just fun. They just talk about monsters and robots with this kid.
Well, let's move on back to music. Jason, let's move on to your next recommendation, Combat Jack. Should we start by listening and then you can tell us more about it once we've had a little taste?
Sure.
Just set up this clip that you've brought in enough so that we know what we're hearing.
I'm sorry, which one? I had like a couple of them.
We've got J. Cole Clean.
J. Cole. So J. Cole, a newer rapper who's doing a collaboration with Kendrick Lamar right now. And this is just an example of what I was talking about earlier, where especially in hip hop, you don't really get interviews about the craft and what's going on in people's lives and artists' lives that inspired their music. So Combat Jack is really good about that because he has the whole history of hip hop in his head because he's been around for so long. He was an editor of The Source. He was even a music attorney for a while. So he is really deep in the history and he's able to inform all of his interviews with that.
So let's hear Combat Jack interviewing J. Cole.
Listen, on Be Free, man, you write, ain't a gun that could kill your soul, man. What do you mean?
Exactly that. There's a higher, we all connected to something that can never die. You know what I mean? Period. So no matter what type of suffering happens in this existence, no matter what, you know, I just watched Selma yesterday.
It's good, like, movie, man.
Oh,
great movie.
Oh, my God, it's amazing. It's like, you know, that man didn't die. His physical form ceased to exist, but he's here. You know what I mean? And like, you know, any of our loved ones that go, they're not dead. And I feel like if we truly understand that, myself included, if we truly understood that this is just a temporary experience of like physical, this is a blessing to be here, but this ain't the end, then life would be such a more amazing thing. We wouldn't have fear. There's no fear when you know that this ain't it. Fear is the root of all this of racism, of greed. Greed exists because you think
scarcity.
There's scarcity. You think there's not enough. So
and the universe is abundant.
It's abundant. Yeah. There's more than enough. There'll always be more than enough. So that's where fear comes from. It's all ego. It's all survival. But if you knew, that's what makes us human. That's what makes us spiritual beings, is that we can be aware of the other side, that there's an infinity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How do you perform that song on Letterman and not break down, man?
Bro, it was hard.
Please welcome back J. Cole, everybody. And I'm in denial, and it don't take no x-ray to see right through my smile. Oh no, I'll be on the go. don't drink out there, they can numb my soul. Oh no. All we wanna do is take the chains off. All we wanna do is break the chains off, yeah. All we wanna do is be free. All we wanna do is be free.
So that was Combat Jack interviewing J. Cole, and it sounds like an interview show where you do also hear music, which is nice.
Yeah, he does play occasional clips. I mean, his interviews are very long and in-depth, and I liked that clip because it has Jay talking about his inspiration behind the song. You know, there's a little bit of Selma. It touches on violence. It touches on spirituality. And then it goes right into that clip where when he plays live, you can really hear, like, his voice start to, like, pull up that matter from his soul. So it's pretty powerful to hear an artist like that getting to talk about their inspiration and their struggles and their beliefs and their philosophy, and then go right into a live performance, which is pretty rare in hip hop.
I've heard one of the other interviews that I heard with him was with a real sort of unknown up and coming female DJ who, I mean, they acknowledged in the interview, like, mm-hmm. nobody really knows who you are yet. He just really, Combat Jack really liked her. And it was also so just real. He just asks her the question straight out of the gate. Why are you so good? You know, like, talk to me about his style. What stands out?
He just really, really knows his stuff, especially in media as well. So he's interviewed Wendy Williams, a feminist blogger, Feminista Jones, Kierna Mayo from The Source. And he's interested in African American music journalism and media, because he has history in that as well. And so he comes at this, he's really like a correspondent. In fact, at Barclay, we did a South by Southwest event for one of our clients that needed that feature. It needed a live interviewer and an embedded journalist at South by. And so we asked Combat Jack if he would do it. And he's like the nicest guy ever. And he was so great. But he's able to just draw from his knowledge at all points and pitch out those really great informed questions.
Mike, so that's Combat Jack, one of Jason Harper's recommendations for music podcasts. And Mike, earlier in the show, we heard the opposite of interviews where you hear just a little music every now and then. It's a short format, music-only podcast called Annie Mac's Mini Mix. Tell us about it.
So Annie Mac's Mini Mix, she is a DJ on BBC Radio 1. She's an accomplished DJ and has been doing that for a while. Her shows air from 7 to 10 on Friday nights as a live stream, and then she asks the DJs to create a 5-minute mini mix of just straight music. And it's pretty renowned DJs, Disclosure, Luna George, things like that. And what's really cool is if they'll post it on their SoundCloud and you'll see 50 different tracks in this 5 minutes, and just how they curated it together. So it's I like to listen to it in the workplace because it's like this like 5-minute like thing that kind of gets me pumped up, but then also I'm like learning about this DJ style, and it's just a good window into the DJ scene. I'm not a wannabe DJ or anything like that. It just is like a nice foray into that world.
Well, let's hear a little bit about it, and since it's all music, we'll finish talking about it without having to shut the music down. So, Mike, tell me about the episode we're hearing right now.
So, this is Medean, and he actually came to a sold-out show at the Midland recently, and he was on Annie Mac's show, and then Annie Mac asked him to produce this DJ set, right? And so right now, up to this point, we've heard probably 4 or 5 different songs that he's
already
on. Yes, yeah. And whether he's just like stitched them in there, or if he's, I don't know his process, if he's doing it live. And so I picked this one because it has a lot of high energy, and I was trying to get people into it. But you also get DJs that maybe aren't as high energy and they're kind of like slower and stuff. But after I saw Medean there, I was kind of like, oh, I don't really get it. But then after hearing this, I was like, whoa, this dude knows his stuff. Like, he's so good at what he does.
What is the challenge here when you look at it sort of I mean, is it to know the music so well that you know where you can stitch together and how to make a whole thing out of little pieces?
Yeah, so imagine like you were asked to be in a freestyle like rap battle or something like that.
I have a hard time imagining that, to tell you the truth.
I have dreams about that.
Yes, yeah. And so you just get to kind of flex your skills for that period of time. And so, yeah, I would do terrible as well, Gina, so don't worry. So it's this 5-minute kind of challenge to say, what is the best DJ experience you can make? And it's not, you know, 5 hours at a bar where you're just playing one song into another. It's how does it transition? And it's really about who are you picking and who are you profiling.
Cool. Well, so that was Annie Mack's Mini Mix, and that's a spinoff of her show on the BBC.
Correct. Yes.
And as far as me being in a rap battle someday, I do have a nerdy breakdance move that, but I can't do it right now because I am more than 7 months pregnant. So later.
Yes.
Like months from now, maybe.
I can't wait.
Jason, you have recommended a music podcast it's not actually a music podcast, but you've recommended Known Quantity Marc Maron, the comedian behind the off the beat sort of fresh air style one-on-one interview series, WTF. You've recommended him for his music interviews.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's sort of what we were talking about earlier with music podcasts. There aren't just a tremendous volume of them, so you kind of have to hope that some of your favorite interviewers, which Marc Maron definitely is one of mine, expand their scope to include music, because when he started out, it was mostly comedy, but then he started working in these, you know, deep dive music interviews. So he's done Keith Richards, Ty Siegel, some other famous musicians, and he brings his own love and his own like kind of wannabe rock star history, which I think sort of like all music fans have. You know, we all dream of like being on stage playing guitar or being a DJ or being a rapper. And so he brings that amateur passion into it when he interviews people. And he just seems to like ask the things, like the basic questions that you would always want to ask your heroes. Like, what was your first sort of the turnout of a punk thing? How did you get into this? What was your first guitar? What was your first band?
So it's a great opportunity for like a fan, like someone who is fanatical about the musicians they love. When they're coming on WTF, this is a good opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And like when a lot of music interviews, they're always talking about their latest album, you know, and because they're trying to promote whatever their latest project is. But he goes way, way back, and he does this with all of his interviews, but he asks people about their childhood and what it was like growing up and how that shaped them into doing whatever they're doing. And he's, you know, he's hilarious too. And he just, his own like self-deprecating style is a way to get a lot more honest responses out of people. And it's just like fun. It's hanging out in his garage talking to wildly successful musicians that you would never ever meet in your life, or if you did, you'd probably just like kind of stammer at them. But you know, so he does that too. He geeks out and he's a fanboy too. But then they get around to talking to some pretty profound stuff that you don't hear a lot of other places.
And the word fanboy does bring me back to something I asked Hannah Copeland earlier in the show. I mean, is there something especially male and maybe even especially white male about music criticism? Or no? Am I imagining that?
You're not imagining that, Gina. Definitely is. I mean, the whole history of like rock critics and like Sound Opinions is a really good show, but it features two middle-aged white guys, Greg Kot and Jim DeRogatis, who've written books. You know, the rock critic culture is very patriarchal. You know, Grail Marcus, Lester Bangs, those are like the gatekeepers for it. And
do you think, I have a theory about this, and I hope this doesn't sound rude or dismissive because I consume a lot of music criticism. I respect it, but it does seem like part of growing up male in America is there's a connection between what it means for you to be cool and what you know about music. I mean, it seems like that's a thing that exists.
Yeah, and I think it's especially for like downtrodden beta males like me and Mike. No offense, Mike. I always love this quote from David Lee Roth, that rock critics love Elvis Costello because they all look like Elvis Costello. And so they're not the jocks, you know, so a way to build their identity is through music. And that's, you know, informed a lot of punk culture too. So it is a male rite of passage, I guess, and it's like a very rock and roll historically is male dominated too, and then the geeks are male dominated. But we're starting to see more, like Jessica Hooper, who's a female rock critic, wrote a book about this subject about female rock critics, and in other genres like electronic and hip hop, there's a stronger female presence. I hope. That is emerging, but yeah, in rock and roll is mostly like white dudes.
It'll be interesting to see whether the podcast world becomes a place where that changes, just in that it's a new format. So far, it doesn't totally seem that way, but you never know. Yeah. Okay, well, Mike, tell me a little bit about Secret Skin. Yeah.
So Secret Skin, I actually found, is hosted by... Open Mike Eagle. And I found out about Open Mike Eagle, I think a year ago when he played Middle of the Map. And people were always saying, oh, he's affiliated with Hannibal Buress, or he's affiliated with Eric Andres, but he's a hip hop artist. And I didn't know what that meant. But when you see it or when you hear his music, he really is fusing cultural commentary, comedy, which is cultural commentary, and hip hop together. And so it makes sense that it's a podcast. And so he has this podcast where he interviews lots of different hip hop artists. And then recently he's done Marc Maron and Chuck Klosterman, and kind of like, I don't know if he's superseded his hip hop like persona or not, but they definitely are both pretty up there. And I thoroughly enjoy it.
So that's Secret Skin. And before we go, we have to talk about Song Exploder. KCUR's next podcast party this Thursday night is pairing this podcast with the Central Standard series I hope everyone out there has heard. It's called Story of a Song, where we sort of mix together musicians talking about how they created a specific song with the sounds that they're describing as they're telling those stories. We're really excited about this podcast party. Jason, what is Song Exploder?
So Song Exploder is a podcast where this guy, and maybe Mike knows more about who he actually is, but it's deconstructing songs and how they were made from the artist's perspective. So it's not really an interview style. It's more a narrative from the artist talking about how they made the song, where their idea for the song came from, what their creative process is like, how they went into the studio and recorded it. So it breaks down different parts, isolates different tracks, and tells like how the vocal was made, how this weird sound effect was made, how they write guitar solos, how they sample.
And then so how it all comes together.
How it all comes together. And then at the end, it plays the whole song.
Well, we're going to hear a clip. Who is the musician? What's the song?
I believe this clip, is this one you picked?
I think it's yours.
Okay, so this is Rivers Cuomo.
We've got Weezer.
Yes, from Weezer.
Yep.
So this is him talking about a song off the new album, the White Album, Drunk Dory. And he's, I think this would be the part where he's telling about how he writes his guitar solos. And throughout the whole process of him talking about this, he has this very like formulaic way that involves spreadsheets, which I kind of love for how he writes songs, because Weezer is like very well-crafted power pop. So it makes sense.
Well, let's hear him tell it. We're going to hear this episode of Song Exploder with Weezer.
This is the way I came up with a guitar solo. Instead of playing the guitar, I sing. Before, I said I come up with a lot of my vocal melodies on the piano or the guitar. The reverse is also true. If I just go to play a solo on a guitar, often it turns into just a fest, and you know, like the same old muscle memory licks you've heard a zillion times, and it's not interesting. But if I sing it, I'm much more restricted in where I can go and how fast the solo will be, and it's going to have space in it because I have to breathe, and it's going to be something you can sing along to because it was created by a voice. But guitar can go a lot higher than my voice, so when I originally scat the solo, it's in a lower octave, and then I go back and pitch it up an octave because I need to learn it on guitar, so I need to hear it in that higher octave.
Oh!
Yeah, and again, it's like I have all the doors closed and I'm, you know, it's like 100 degrees in here in the summer. There's no AC, shirts off, like jumping around, air guitar.
So that song Exploder, that's just a sample of it. You hear music from all genres really explored on Song Exploder. We'll be having fun with this podcast on Thursday night at the Buffalo Room during KCUR's podcast party. You'll also get to witness a live version of Central Standard's Story of a Song series, this time featuring the band Grizzly Hand. Go to our website for more information. Jason Harper, thanks so much.
Thank you, Gina.
And Mike Russo, thank you. Welcome to KCUR.
Thanks a lot, Gina.
Now, when we return, a few non-music podcasts in case your playlist needs freshening up. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned. We're back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is Central Standard. And to cap off this audiophile show here on KCUR, we've got voracious podcast listener Kyle J. Smith here to tell us what's new in his rotation. Hi, Kyle. Welcome back.
Hi, Gina. Thank you.
Well, so what you've been listening to? Tell us one of your new favorites.
Absolutely. So we just came out of music, so I thought it'd be fun to start with music. There's a podcast some of us may be familiar with called The Truth, which is a fiction podcast where in each episode they tell a new story. Well, they just started a new series called The Songonauts, which I believe is going to be a fictional story told over about 7 episodes. And the first episode is out.
The first episode's out?
Yeah, and to set up the clip we're going to listen to,
We're not going to be actually hearing a clip. We're going to do kind of a quick race through a lot of Kyle's recommendations. We'll get to hear a clip of one of those coming
up. Gotcha. Cool.
Yes.
Looking forward to it. Definitely check out The Songonauts on The Truth. So the story is Doc, Penny, and JoJo are in this band. And at the beginning of the first episode, their drummer leaves. So they have to find a new drummer. And they get in the mail this drum machine that transports them into their songs. It's a lot of fun to listen to. And at the end of this first episode, they set up a mission they're going to be going in the next 6 episodes. So that's definitely check that one out.
What else are you listening to right now?
I recently picked up, the CBC has a new series called Someone Knows Something. In this show, it's set up in Canada, and a documentary filmmaker named David Riggin goes back to his hometown to learn about... So in 1972, this 5-year-old boy named Adrian McNaughton was... disappeared. He was on a fishing trip with some family and friends. He disappeared then. You know, there was a lot of search and rescue stuff going on, but they never found him. So now we're back in 2016 and we're back in Canada looking for Adrian. I really appreciate this one because David step by step takes you through his process of trying to figure out if they will be able to find him now. It's also fun because like any mystery show, you wonder if you're going to arrive at a satisfying conclusion. And we're like 7 episodes in, and I actually don't know if the answer is yes yet. Because, I mean, it's hard to find a 5-year-old kid right after he's disappeared, let alone 40 years later. So definitely check that one out.
It reminds me in some ways, obviously, of Serial.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it has a lot of the same flavor, too. I would recommend this one is not moving fast, and every episode takes some time, and they're telling it over many, many episodes. So if you're looking for a quick podcast fix, I wouldn't necessarily turn to Someone Knows Something because this is going to take a while.
Yeah. And what as far as like the story being about a 5-year-old who's gone missing, I mean, it seems like. Part of the challenge with Serial was that the people who are remembering this, in many cases, were teenagers when it happened. And I don't trust entirely my own teenage memories. When you're talking about 5-year-olds, I mean, do you get to know people who were children, classmates?
We haven't been introduced to any of them yet. You've met Adrian's brother and sister. His brother was older. His sister was too young to remember anything. They've mostly spoken to the family, who were, of course, all older at the time, and then some of the people who were also on the fishing trip. A big character in this story, actually, is the documentary filmmaker, David Riggin, who's going along on this journey. And so it's fun to get to know him as too, and he lets you in on like when he thinks a lead seems promising or when something seems silly or when the process isn't going smoothly, and it's fun to be able to play detective with him.
So the name of this podcast again?
Someone Knows Something by the CBC.
And the CBC is basically the Canadian equivalent of NPR.
Yeah.
So what else can you recommend? I'm always so impressed. You just are constantly putting new things in your by the way, how many podcasts do you listen to?
Oh, it's a very long list, possibly in the dozens.
Is this why every time I see you, you have an earbuds?
Yeah. And I never... Yeah, that's the case. If anyone ever sees me with earbuds in, it's okay if you bother me. I'd rather speak to a human than listen to a podcast. There's just lots of free time to listen to good audio stories.
Well, pretty soon we're going to listen to a clip from the Clam Simmons audiobook, but give us one more other recommendation before that.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed NPR's new podcast series, Embedded. So All Things Considered host Kelly McEvers allows us to dive deeper into a story we've probably heard on the news within the past year or so. In the first episode, they are in Indiana, where there was a big HIV outbreak because a bunch of people were sharing needles and, you know, doing opiates and prescription drugs and stuff. They talk about a biker gang down in Waco, Texas. They're in San Salvador following some violent gang wars. And I appreciate that they take time with each story and you get to meet and really get to know a little better some of the people behind it, as opposed to how we all consume the news, which is just flashes of bright, loud things.
It's interesting. So that this is an NPR podcast, and it's called what again?
Embedded.
And so it's something that we don't hear on the air.
Yeah, definitely. In the first episode, even, you spend some time with Kelly as she's in a room with people as they are taking drugs, which is just something you don't hear on public radio too often.
But it does make me wonder why we don't hear it.
I think it is the time commitment, part of it at least. And that's a big plus of having podcasts, is these episodes range from, you know, 20 to 30 minutes, and you can just take some more. You have the time. It's not a 3-minute drive time slot.
Well, let's quickly set up. You've brought in the Clam Simmons audiobook. Quickly set up the clip you're going to play for us.
All right. So this podcast is in the style of like a memory palace. It's a guy sitting down telling a story. Clam Simmons knows just enough history to be dangerous.
Okay, let's hear it.
The original town of Kansas sat on a bluff towering above the river. The height of the bluffs made offloading river goods such as molasses and horse pelts a nightmare. After years of slow delivery times, horse pelt industry officials threatened to leave Kansas City. That's when intrepid Mayor Johnny Filth stepped in. Mayor Johnny Filth took the city's entire annual budget and bought a shovel for each citizen in town. He handed a shovel to every man, woman, and child at Kansas City's annual bean dinner and said, "Get to digging. Do it for the horse pelt industry." Together, the city cut into the river bluffs like a giant stack of chocolate cake. Within days, the bluffs began to shrink, and the speed of horse pelt delivery was mightily increased. The work continued day into night, and night into week, and week into fortnight. After a fortnight, Donnie Tittle, one of the hardest working shovel boys, slipped a note into Mayor Phil's pocket.
So that is the Clam Simmons audiobook, a little clip that has a special shout out to Kansas City.
Absolutely, and every episode does. I can't recommend it enough. It's worth getting some time to get used to because there's some real brilliance in there.
That's all the time we have. Kyle J. Smith, former KCUR intern, now working for KC SourceLink. Thank you for vetting so many new podcasts out there for us.
Thank you, Gina.
You'll be able to listen back to this show and get a list of podcast recommendations on our website later today. Just head to kcur.org/centralstandard and sign up for our podcast. when you do. That's kcur.org/centralstandard. Don't forget about that podcast party this Thursday night at the Buffalo Room. Tomorrow, the president and CEO of Visit KC is known for his candor. So how does this guy sell Kansas City? I'm Gina Kaufman, and that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to KCUR's Central Standard. Up to date is next.